Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.
Welcome back to Girl on the Gov, the podcast,
where we're shooting the shit with elected officials and candidates running for office to get to know the person beyond the politics.
Because politicians needed a rebrand.
What was that show? It was Extreme Makeover, Home Edition, with the bus. And they're like, that bus. And you know what I think should be a thing? Because obviously we know Kamala loves her campaign bus. Because obviously, who wouldn't? Is if they did a reveal when she's at the White House, right? Like when she wins, right? Because we're manifesting, we're doing all the things, we're making sure our friends are registered to vote, have voting plans, all the things, is post like inauguration. It's like the Harris Walls bus, and then move that bus, and then they move that bus, and then there they are as president and VP.
Wow, you guys, you heard it here first. Mm-hmm. If this happens, you know where to find us because we'll be needing some royalties.
Wait, speaking of royalties, I don't know if you saw, but Ben and Jerry's dropped a coconut jubilee flavor. And who was it a few months ago on TikTok, or I guess almost a few weeks, let's really qualify this, said that would be a great idea? Who threw that into the universe? Who has gotten zero royalties? Granted, I'm clearly was not the only one with that idea, but I even said, Ben and Jerry's, call me up.
Coconut. Oh, coconut flavor. I want to try it. Sounds good.
Are you a coconut ice cream girly?
It depends. Like, I like a good coconut, like a kind of pina colada type coconut
pina flavor.
Pina colada y. Where it's kind of more like sorbet type.
Okay.
But I love like a creamy, maybe like hint of coconut flavor. That sounds good.
I could fuck with that with maybe like some chocolate chips in it. Mm-hmm. It's almost like a Mounds bar, but mm-hmm. like, you Mounds. Know, like reverse.
She likes Mounds, everyone. Run. Run for the hills.
Why is that weird?
It's like Almond Joy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Almond. I mean, I love Almond Joy too, but like.
She loves Almond Joys. Guys, she loves Almond Joys. Oh my God.
Run. Why is this crazy?
It's not that crazy. I like both, but it's like never what I'm reaching for, you know? There's like a culture out there that's like very anti-Mounds Almond Joys.
Oh. I have not you'll
just keep an eye out now that it's like spooky Halloween season and okay. The candy starts coming out. Like, ask around. Ask what people think about those two candies.
Interesting. Huh. I never knew that was such a divisive candy.
So divisive.
Wow. I'm going to really start asking questions. I don't know. I can't say I've like eaten either in an age, but I'm just, look, as long as no one comes for my Haribo gummy bears, we're fine.
Interesting.
And if someone wants to, Madison.
It's interesting. That's all I'll say.
Is that one controversial?
No, it's not. It's not. It's less controversial. For me, it's just like not the fruity gummy I'm reaching for. Like I like some sour stuff mixed onto it or just more flavor. I feel like gummy bears can be a little more flavorful.
Okay, but like have you had the wild berry special edition?
That sounds good. That sounds great. Is there politics to talk about? Last week, we just like our intro was popping because we did a fresh debate debrief, which if you haven't listened to it, it might be a little less newsworthy now, a week later. But, you know, the Taylor Swift news broke while we were recording. It was a good episode. We cracked some jokes. We're just funny
girls.
Speaking
of Taylor Swift, well, that's true. Facts. However, Taylor Swift has continued to be in the news because Donald Trump has announced that he hates her. Mm-hmm. Brittany Mahomes has pivoted, and the takedown of her friend Taylor Swift is apparently the thing that
which I have no time for. I'm like, girl, it wasn't the like restrictive abortion bans or the like really racist immigrant comments or like none of that stuff. It was, I hate Taylor Swift and his Truth Social post, as if anyone cares. Just come on, Brit. Come on, Brit.
Yeah. Just brutal, brutal. So, you know, we've had Addison Rae and Billie Eilish come out and endorse Kamala. So that's been news. Donald Trump Jr. allegedly was caught kissing a socialite in Palm Beach. Someone I'd never heard of, but do a little Google.
Like an affair? Sorry, is he taking?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's engaged.
Oh, an affair. An affair?
An affair. A nefarious affair.
Nefarious.
Mm-hmm. And then there's obviously all the rumors.
That's what this
swirling.
Election needs. A good affair.
Yeah, we were missing that. Well, they tried to really drum that up with Dougie's old one.
Yeah, fuck
but
off.
We buried
People make
that.
Mistakes. I know you were mad about that one, but.
I was.
You
love
make mistakes,
does not exist.
Samantha. Are you a once a cheater, always a cheater, girl?
No. I have a diagram.
Okay.
So I think that like if someone cheats in like the high school or college era, especially with like a long distance relationship, I'm not saying it's okay. It's absolutely not. But like, I don't necessarily think it's their for life habit. However, if somebody does it post, like you're an adult, like you're 25 and up and your full brain is developed. Okay. And like, it's a real relationship. I have no patience for it, A, obviously. And B, like, then I go, that's a pattern.
Yeah, that's a fair assessment, I would say.
Yeah.
Depending on the situation, I would give a little bit of grace for maybe a 25 to 30-year-old, but it would have to be like a one-time thing. I think when you repeat patterns, it's like my biggest red flag.
Yeah. Well, also, I'll add another asterisk to that, too, because boys are wimps and liars. And the...
You heard it here first.
There it is. Sorry to also, like, the man.
Sorry, man who's listening.
Yeah, we actually have increased our male listenership, so welcome, guys.
One of my guy friends apparently listens. If you're listening, you know who you are. Which
if
I'm
it's
like,
not
stop.
Chip's dad.
I'm literally like, stop. It's just, like, not for you.
Like literally, like this is a safe space. Like
not
you,
for you.
Yeah, I don't know how to feel about that. But hi, whoever you are, I hope you also get a wiener dog so that we can make a dating show with Disco. But until then, shoo shoo. But what I was going to say is that I do know of quite a number of guys that have been trying to like exit a relationship, and they don't know what to do to exit the relationship, and then they'll do like a drunken make out at a bar type situation to like have a reason to end it.
Yeah.
So I've witnessed those, which is also unacceptable, but like then you hate the person. So I don't know, maybe that's better, but I don't know. I have not been on the other end of this situation. So
yeah. Well, I'm glad we're diving deep into this topic.
Important for our listenership.
Right. But Donald Trump Jr.
Yeah.
He was smooching in public?
Smoochy, kissy. A little
lunchtime.
Are
there pics?
There's a pic of them at lunch. I didn't see a pic of them actually smooching.
So there's an alleged smooch.
Alleged smooch, at least to my knowledge. So we've got that going on. A little affair potential news. Then on more the real, we had the elected Republicans strike down another attempt to protect IVF at the federal level.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also, per the conversation of reproductive freedom, we also had the first documented case, okay, like asterisks of that, underline that part of it,
right.
Preventable death mm-hmm. of a mother in Georgia mm-hmm. who died due to an infection that came from doctors not being able to go forward with medical care that she needed in relation to an abortion.
Yeah.
Like, the policy, the ban, resulted not in more life, pro-life, mm-hmm. it resulted in a death and now a child
less
without
life.
A mother.
Less life, not Drake's, more life. No, it's seriously fucking heinous. And again, this is like a reported case. This is something that's been happening in a lot of these states with restrictive abortion bans. where women and doctors cannot get or give the care that is needed, a lot of times due to literal fear of imprisonment.
Jail time.
Which like, is fucking up to 10 crazy. Plus years. Yeah. So it's just like so devastating and such an important reminder of what's at stake, because if we can vote for and elect a Democratic trifecta, we can codify abortion rights on the national level and prevent this from ever happening again. So it's just, let's not forget.
Mm-hmm.
2021.
Precisely.
Yeah.
Drum roll.
Was it 2021 or 2022? Roe?
You're asking me a numbers question.
You're right.
Thank you're you. Right.
One of the 2 years, but time mm-hmm. doesn't exist these days. So a lot happening. This Trump potential assassination situation again.
Oh, I forgot about that.
That's another thing to add to the list. It's just things are moving and shaking, folks. Let me tell you.
You know what is wild about that whole situation?
So I just mean, don't so trust Trump.
Well, yeah, that front line and center. But I had recently purchased sometime last year this book on like the Secret Service, and like it's called like The Downfall of the Secret Service, something like that. And I was really excited to read it, but then I was like, you know, on those where it's like expectation reality, I took an interest in the subject of the Secret Service. And for a while, I guess it's been documented that they haven't been doing so hot, or that they don't have enough staff since kind of like its founding. And then it got too boring. It was all into the JFK stuff that I like, just not a, and it's not my interest.
What's important is that you are studying up for Secret Service men that will come into our lives one day romantically.
Like that one that chased me at the White House?
Yeah, like it's important to get informed on
mm-hmm.
your man's life, your man's career.
Well, apparently what I like learned very quickly though was that they do not really like have time for wives, and that they spend like less than like 30 days a year at home.
Mm, that sounds really so nice. I always say, like, sometimes I joke, I'm like, a long distance boyfriend sounds amazing. I love being by myself. Like,
it's, you think it's going to be great, and then I'll tell you it's not.
I've done it before, but like now, as an independent woman who lives on her own, I'm like, oh, it sounds so nice. Like,
there are, you know, there are certain times where I wonder, like, do I want a boyfriend or do I want, and then like slot in security guard. Then other times I slot in suitcase carrier. And then other times, yeah, exactly. Like it's like reservation maker.
Right.
Masseuse. Travel organizer.
Foot rubber.
Mm. Mm. I think even my own feet gross me out too much. Like, not that they're gross, because, you know, hashtag foot pics. But,
yeah, whoa.
But like, I just, feet in general,
I like feet. I'm just kidding. No, I don't. I don't know why I said that. I don't like feet. I just like my feet.
That's the clip that goes viral. I just, you know what? The worst feet, though, is like really men feet. Like there's something, like, I don't know what it is about men feet. Like, why are they weird?
They're hairy and dirty. That's why.
They're like.
Yeah. Well, on that note, should we introduce our.
That cannot be guest.
Our extremely renowned guest that we have today. Like, what is wrong with us?
I don't know. I told you last week that my mom was turning over in her urns.
Yeah. We're headed for the Pulitzer Prize. Like, just here we come. Yeah. Let's introduce our literal renowned guest. And can I say one thing before you get the full intro? I just want to say this guest we have is such an amazing person. And I think just such an amazing example. Like, I feel like 2024 has been the year of, like, the Democrats have a bench. Like, we have an amazing bench full of amazing people. And, like, Kamala has showed us this. Tim Walz has showed us this. And Wes Moore has showed us this.
Oh, she slid it in just perfectly. Literally. You make such a good point. I think there have been so many worries about that in like the last few years, like, who's it going to be? Who's it going to be? And it's like, guys, how about
we have so many amazing options. Yeah. Maybe just not the like old relics, like maybe the young, cool people that we have.
Exactly. And Westmore is definitely one of them. If you guys aren't in the 411 of this yet, but now you're here at this episode, right? We have Governor Westmore of Maryland on the show today. So we're getting the 411 on obviously the state, the demo, what it's like, and also most excitingly, where the state is going, like the future of Maryland. And well, we won't, you know, take all the words right out of his mouth, but if you are thinking about moving somewhere, maybe doing a little like life refresh, you might be sold on Maryland after this conversation.
Yeah.
Just saying, it could be a thing.
Yeah.
You could be like a little bit closer to running into one of the Real Housewives of Potomac.
Mm-hmm.
And that is important because we have a new season coming out very shortly. Mm-hmm. So just saying. But anyways, to the politics of it all, without further ado, here is Governor Westmore. Guys, we know that political donating can be so challenging sometimes. And there is a platform that makes it so easy, and a platform, same platform, by the way, that actually makes sure that your donation is effective in making change happen. And it's called Oath. It is a political donation platform that helps you make real impact and has directed over $25 million in grassroots donations this year to critical races that will decide the future of reproductive rights, voting rights, LGBTQ+, equality, and so much more.
Yes, we love Oath. And Oath helps you find the most impactful places to give, which is really hard to nail down these days. Oath analyzes thousands of federal, state, and even local races to find which candidates can most benefit from your help and makes recommendations based on the issues you care about. It also ensures your hard-earned dollars are maximized. So Oath makes sure you don't waste your money by giving to overfunded candidates and candidates that can't win. And Oath does not take a cut of donations through the platform. And ultimately, it stops the spam. I think we all are pulling our hair out at all of these texts nonstop from political orgs, and Oath keeps donors' contact information private, so you are not spammed when you give. So go to the link in our episode description to learn more about Oath and start your political.
All right. Well, Governor, we are so excited to have you. We have so much ground to cover, so much to chat about. But I think one of the questions that we get asked all the time is, what is each state like politically? You know, what really is the landscape? So you wouldn't mind sharing with us, you know, what is Maryland like? Is it purple? Is it blue? Is it red? How do you, you know, sort of describe the political landscape of the state?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting because I think Maryland really is kind of like American miniature, because it, no matter where you are standing in the state of Maryland, I can tell you how to have a world-class experience within 2 hours of anywhere you're standing. If you want to go to the mountains, if you want to go to farmland, if you want to go to cities, if you want to go to the beach. I mean, like literally we have it all in the state of Maryland. But politically, it's a state that has a Democratic Senate and a Democratic General Assembly. But it also is a state that until I became governor, for 12 of the last 20 years, our governor has been a Republican. And so it's kind of all over the place. It's a state where literally, you know, the Mason-Dixon line runs through the state of Maryland. So it's like, it's a little bit of north and a little bit of south. And it's a state that I think in many ways just kind of has a little bit of everything within it, which I think is kind of a cool landscape or how we just think about a lot of the issues that we've been able to work on and get done.
Yeah, and what are some of those issues? Like, what are the things that I guess you're most proud of like your tenure, but also just what are the things that voters in Maryland really care about most that you work to address?
You know, I think a big thing for us is economic growth. And part of it's because when I came on board, we just had economic growth that was just flat. I mean, Maryland had grown for the 7 years before I became governor. Maryland had grown about 3% for GDP. The average state grew about 11. And so we were just really falling behind a lot of these other states. And so the big things that we were really pushing on is we've got to get more people back to work, and we've got to get our economy actually working for everybody. And so one of the things we're really proud of is how we've been able to do exactly that. We made historic investments in childcare. because we knew that you cannot get people back into the workforce if they have to choose between making sure their kids are okay or them being able to enter back in the workforce, specifically for women. That we've been able to say we're going to invest in trade programs and apprenticeship programs, because some of the feedback we kept on getting was that we have some of the best four-year colleges in America, and that's something that we're really proud of. But at the same time, we have to end this myth that every single one of our students have to attend a four-year college in order to be economically successful. So we've actually quadrupled the amount of people in trade programs and apprenticeship programs in our state, you know, that we were able to raise the minimum wage, because when you have wages that were so low, you're actually disincentivizing work, and people did not feel the need to actually go back into the workforce. So you raise the minimum wage and you're able to get more people to get, you know, have enough to be able to take care of them and their families. And when you look at the culmination of everything we've been able to get done, you know, when I was first inaugurated, Maryland was ranked 43rd in the country in unemployment. Now, going on the 13th straight month in a row, Maryland has amongst the lowest unemployment rates in the entire country. Our unemployment rate right now is 2.8%. And so I'm really proud that we were able to identify the problem, say, okay, what are the different solutions that we can put in place quickly in order to address it? And the thing we're seeing in the state of Maryland, that it's working.
Yeah. And I mean, talk about the bounce back state. You guys had a tragic bridge collapse not too long ago, which feels very like literally last week, but also a long time ago, all in the same lens of things. But I'm curious how that bounce back came to be. You know, you guys really seem to have gotten it all together. How did that come together?
I tell you, Sammy, I mean, I will never forget that morning at 2:02 in the morning when my phone rang and our chief of staff told us that the Key Bridge was now gone, and that the Port of Baltimore, which by the way, represents around like 13% of our state's economy, that it was now shut down, and thousands of workers were now out of a job. Six Marylanders who were working on the bridge that night fixing potholes were now, you know, deceased. And so being able to, as early as, you know, 2:00 that morning, start the process of being able to communicate to the people of the state what had happened, being able to center the humanity of the people lost in every single thing that we did, being able to make sure those port workers were taken care of and getting that port reopened as quickly as possible. It became our mission from a state perspective. And I'm really proud of the way that the state rebounded and the way the state worked together. Maryland really put on a case study on how to respond in these type of, you know, disaster situations, where we were able to, you know, and it took weeks, but we were able to find all the bodies of the individuals who we lost and make sure they got the closure and the comfort, their families got the closure and the comfort that they deserved. I'm able to make sure that all those port workers and all their families were taken care of and protected, because, you know, what happened to them was not their fault. So them and their families should not have to struggle financially because of it. And when people told us it would take 11 months to reopen the Port of Baltimore, because we worked together and worked 24 hours to get it done, we got it done in 11 weeks. And so we're just really thankful to the, you know, to the Biden-Harris administration, thankful to our local leaders, thankful to the private sector who stepped up in philanthropy in a big way. So we're very much on our way now to being able to now hopefully get the bridge rebuilt quickly. But I'm really thankful that the state showed some during that moment.
Absolutely. Yeah. Case study for sure. And I think just to circle it back also to what you were saying at the beginning of our conversation about the landscape of Maryland, and there's just so much diversity in what you can do and everything. If someone's visiting Maryland, what are you recommending that they check out? Like, if there's two things you're like, you have to do this, what are they?
Oh, only two?
Only two. We'll circle back another time.
That's right. Well, first I tell them they need to meet up with a real estate agent and just move here, because it's about, it's Maryland's time, it's Maryland's decade. And, you know, it's important that y'all, you know, get in early. But I'd say that, you know, first, you can't come to Maryland and not experience the beauty that is Baltimore City. You know, Baltimore, and you're going to come out, you have a great time. You'll go to an O's game. You'll go to a Ravens game. You'll stay downtown. You have some of the best food. By the way, if y'all are foodies, Baltimore is one of the most slept on foodie cities in the entire country.
Okay, I was just there this summer and I wish I had these recs. What are they?
Oh my gosh. Well, listen, next time you come through, please contact me because I will tell you, no matter what cuisine you are looking for, I will tell you where to have a world-class experience in Baltimore. So you got to come on through.
Okay. I'll reach out for the recs.
You got to come for the recs. But I'm telling you, but it's also one of these things where, in addition to the ballparks and the downtown and the revamped Inner Harbor that's coming and the horse racing and all that kind of stuff, there's just so much history there, mm-hmm. right? I mean, you'll go spend time in the Blacks and Wax Museum, or you will go spend time, or you'll go spend time hanging down over at Lexington Market, which is one of the oldest, open market spaces that we have inside of this country. So it's like no matter what you're looking to experience, Baltimore is going to give you not just a really fun but also a really tasty way of experiencing it. And I would tell you another thing you have to do, especially if you're coming soon, you have to go to Western Maryland in the fall. Western Maryland, you go to the mountains, you will get every single shade of color of the leaves that are now coming down. And it'll be the most gorgeous drive that you will have driving up into Western Maryland and just watching the summer turn into fall. So I would
recommend
everything now. Tell folks to come down and do that.
I'm in California and we only get like half of the autumnal vibes. So I'm definitely gonna have to make the trip. Also, I assume you're a big Ravens fan. Like, how are you feeling so far? Football just kicked off.
Yeah, not great. And we just start off 0-2, and I don't get it because we were this close from actually being the AFC champions and going to the Super Bowl. And now, I mean, we lost week one to the Chiefs, which I kind of get. And it was a great game. But then losing yesterday to the Raiders, I was like, what is going on? So
That's always a hard pill to swallow, is the Raiders loss. Yeah. I also have Mark Andrews on my fantasy football team, and I've been really disappointed.
Monster. Let me tell you something. He's a monster. He's going to be okay. But but when you have Mark Andrews and Isaiah Likely as the two tight ends on your side, and like Lamar Jackson is your quarterback, it's like, you know what? We started off slow, but I still think you're gonna be very happy with Mark Andrews on your team.
Yeah, I hope so.
I was two picks away from getting him. I was actually going to pick him, I think, in like round three or in round four. And then someone got him two picks before me.
So. I love it. I had him last year, too.
Yeah.
Well, we're also like in this final push towards massive election. I'm curious, like, how you're mobilizing people in Maryland around the ticket that we have now and just kind of what you're looking at down ballot too for November.
It's, you know, I'm telling people, like, we have to take this personally. And you don't have the luxury of sitting on the sidelines. And you don't have the luxury of acting like these issues don't matter, because they do. You know, one, I think we have to remind people of just how much policy matters in their life. I come from a background where I don't come from a political background. I'd never run for political office before in my life before running for governor. You know, I don't come from a political family. You know, and, you know, I even have family members who I had to convince to vote for me. And it's because we don't come from that as a culture. But it's really reminding people that everything you do in every way that you exist is actually a policy decision, right? Where you woke up this morning, in the home you woke up in, that was a policy decision. The neighborhood you woke up in was a policy decision. The air you're breathing, the water you're drinking, the way you're policed, the transportation assets you have, the schools your kids go to, these are all policy decisions. And so it's really important that the people who are sitting in those seats are people who reflect your values and are people who are going to bring a sense of calm and aspiration into your life, and not chaos and frankly, just kind of like rudderless leadership. And so the thing that I want people to know is that everybody needs to not just have a plan for themselves, but also making sure all your people do too, your family and your friends and people know the issues and are engaged. Because, you know, again, I'm very, very clear on the fact that I am like 10 toes down for Vice President Harris and Governor Walz. You know, I think that they are the ticket. They are the campaign that I think can uniquely in this moment lead us to a better future where everybody is going to be seen and upheld, and everyone's going to feel like they have a place at the table. And, you know, and the thing that gets me is that, you know, I'm not I'm not working so hard on behalf of them because I'm afraid of the alternative, because I know the alternative and I don't want that. But it's not the thing that gets me excited is to work against somebody. It's the thing that gets me excited is I am so hopeful for the vision that Vice President Harris and Governor Walz, both of whom are friends of mine, are bringing to this country and bringing to this moment. And so I just want everyone to remember why it matters that we stay engaged and stay involved. And I believe that as people continue to dig into their issues and how it's going to impact their lives specifically, they will understand why I and so many others are so excited about the Harris-Walz ticket.
For sure. It is, honestly, it's been electric since July. I can't even fathom like another time in history that's at least for, you know, our age / demographic has like felt this way. So I know we're both amped, but I think one of the things that gets people excited too is seeing positivity, seeing positive accomplishments in the political space. And so I think the perfect capstone of this conversation is if you could share a, you know, policy accomplishment on behalf of Maryland that you guys have accomplished that people should know about. It's sort of like, guys, hello, eyes over here. Like, what would that be?
Honestly, like I love the fact that, you know, we're just doing things different in Maryland, in the fact that, you know, people are saying, well, you guys are doing a lot. And, you know, I'm the youngest Democratic governor in the country. And they're saying, you're doing a lot of stuff with young people or for young people. And I was like, no, correction, we're doing a lot of stuff with young people. Like, if you look at how we've incorporated, you know, young voices into our work, I think about, you know, the fact that we now have a recreational cannabis market inside of the state of Maryland. And that happened during the election in 2022. And so we've not only rolled out what many people believe to be the most, you know, equitable and smoothest recreational cannabis market in the country, but also I told people that we cannot just celebrate the benefits of legalization if you don't address the consequences of criminalization. So I was actually working with a lot of young people in our state that, you know, a few months back, I signed the largest mass pardon in the history of the United States of America, where I pardoned over 175,000 cannabis convictions in one swoop of a pen. But that actually happened in coordination with a lot of young people. You know, like Maryland right now is the first state in the country that now has a service year option for all of our high school graduates. So you got high school graduates in Maryland all over the state who are working on issues of the environment, working on issues of gun safety, working on issues of veterans and older adults, and finding out things that make their heart beat a little bit faster and working on those issues in a paid way. And so I love the fact that we're just doing things differently in our state, but I love the fact that it's happening because we're actually working with every community in order to make those things happen. So, you know, watch Maryland, because I say this is going to be Maryland's decade. And I think people are really taking notice now.
I'm convinced. You got me. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We were so excited to have you. And this was such an awesome conversation. So we'll have to maybe do it again, too. But is there anywhere where people can find you? Anything you want to plug and shout out?
Yes, yes. Well, they can definitely find us on all the social channels, and it's at Gov Westmore or at I Am Westmore. That's the one I think we have beforehand. You can find us on all the social channels. And the other thing that people can do, if they want to learn just about the work that we've done around cannabis, around the service year, et cetera, it's just governor.maryland.gov. And so anything along those lines, but hit us up because we're really excited about where things are going.
Love it. We'll link it in the episode description. Thank you so much.
Thank you all so much. I really appreciate it. It's good to see you.
Hey guys, popping in with a reminder to sign up for the GovHub newsletter. This weekly pop of politics is designed to share action items, resources, and quick links to civic engagement tools and topics directly to your inbox. Save it, share it, and sign up for a pinch of productive politics today by going to girlonthegov.com or visiting this episode's description.